Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It is the same team, but it's also the fans are walking with you also that stay behind home plate. So you'll be walking and the fan will just like, I had one fan smack me in the butt last year. Like, and I'm like, all right, I've never had that before, but that's cool.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 224 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media, and we have a returning guest yet again. See, I bust out the San Francisco Giants hat in honor of Logan Webb, and he has to rub the Raiders thing in my face.
Always. I have to do it.
I mean, do I have to get my Browns jersey over here as well, yeah, or is that what we're doing right out the gate?
It was either that. I was thinking about maybe going Raiders hat, Kings jersey.
Ooh.
But yeah. I thought that'd be a little too much.
Yeah, for people that don't follow along, that's not the LA Kings. That's the Sacramento Kings, which we will certainly get to in just a second. So while you're wearing a football hat, and truth be told, we are taping this a few days before the Super Bowl, is this the worst possible Super Bowl matchup for you as a Raiders fan?
Definitely. I got a little slack. I said this was the most disappointing Super Bowl, and it had nothing to do with – it wasn't even really the Niners, because I do want the Niners to win. That'd be awesome for the city. That'd be great. But as a Raiders fan, it's the Chiefs and the Niners playing a Super Bowl there. It couldn't possibly – maybe if it was – like the Chiefs – either the Chiefs or the Broncos. One of those two would be the
– yes.
One, yeah. And I always – I want to ask the – you know, a lot of Giants and Niners fans were getting on me a little bit. And I was like, okay, think about this. World Series is being played, and it's at a neutral site. It's at Oracle, and it's the Dodgers and A's the whole time. No one would like that, right?
No. Hey, listen, dude, the minute I saw you say that, I understood it.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, fans have such a short fuse. They're like, well, hold on. He pitches for San Francisco. How could he not – you love the Raiders, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, and that's – I do love the Raiders. I can't – I got to stick with them, you know?
Okay. I saw a great picture of you with Max Crosby, who I think was wearing your new contract around his neck, if I'm not – holy shit. What? I mean, any idea what that thing costs?
I have no clue. Honestly, I got a bunch of texts saying – they didn't even ask like if he was a good dude. They didn't ask about anything. They just said, wow, that's a lot of chains.
All right. So I'll ask. Good dude.
Great dude. One of the best.
Yeah.
And man, that guy is, we were lucky enough to actually stay in his suite with his family and some friends, and great family. Got to hang out with his dad a little bit too. That was really cool to, you know, see his perspective up there. Probably he was pacing just like my dad would probably be pacing. So, but that guy's motor is, I think, it was funny. Kittle said something right before the playoffs. Sorry, the dog.
That's all right. We like dogs here.
Kittle said something before the playoffs about like the energy of everybody and how it changes. And I think he made a comment about, you know, everyone turns into Max Crosby come playoffs. So the guy's fun to watch.
That was you and the Rodgers twins, right?
Yep.
Okay. It's way easier to tell them apart when they're not wearing baseball uniforms. And, well, it's easy to tell them apart when they're throwing because one's left-handed, one's right-handed. I get the whole bit. But, yeah, that one's – now, I don't know who's who here, but I know that they're different.
So the one with the the same thing I got around my neck, that's Tyler. And then the one with the kind of the whitish, creamish sweatshirt, that's Taylor.
Okay.
So you can, I don't know if you can tell here, but there's a tiny little bit of difference in their face. Just a tiny bit. There's just something that's a little different. And that's, once you're around them for a week, you notice it every time.
Is it, it's not under the lip. They got the same thing there. Is it a cheek area?
I think so. Now that I see it, that I never like really looked, but I think it is the cheek area.
Okay. Does it still freak you out when you walk into a clubhouse and there's two of them there? Like, do you feel like you're being attacked by the twins universe?
Oh yeah, every time. No, it's those guys are awesome. It's so funny. The banter between those two is pretty special. They're both like dad jokes, good dad jokes.
Okay. But there is truly a twins language. I'm just telling you, man.
Oh yeah.
It's a different thing.
Yeah, but it's so cool to be around them all the time and get to see them do this together. I mean, I got a brother and that'd be the coolest thing in the world, let alone twins, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty special.
All right, I'll ask you one more Raiders question. Right. Antonio Pierce, were you excited when he got the full-time gig?
Very excited. That's one thing I asked. That's like the one, like, I didn't want to ask Max a bunch of questions because I could probably sit there and ask him about everybody and everything. But the one thing I did ask him was about Pierce, and he was like, he's the guy. The guy everyone wants. And it seems like they're putting a good, really good coaching staff together too with them. I did see the Ocho Cinco thing, but I guess it's not true. I was kind of excited about that.
That just would have added to the nuttiness out in Las Vegas.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If this had been not so close to your report date, would you have gone to the Super Bowl?
I thought about it. It would have been fun to go, but like I said, like we talked about before, I obviously, like I said, I want the Niners to win, obviously. Yeah. But it's still a little hard for me just being a Raiders fan. So
got it.
You know?
Got it. I thought that I maybe would be a nice host and not bring up the fact that my Cavs whooped some Kings ass the other night in Cleveland.
They did.
But I will, since I think you swept us last year, so at least I had to say something. Sorry.
It's all right. I wasn't too upset about that loss the other night. I mean, the Cavs are an unbelievable team too. The loss last night was was not
especially
fun.
After talking all that shit on the scoreboard before the game, and showing the IU catch.
I saw that after I think it was the first quarter, and I saw a bunch of people were posting it. I'm like, man, this is not going to end well. You never do that. Why? You just never do that. You know,
all right.
It's like the Padres last year when they did the Kershaw thing.
Oh yeah.
You just come on, guys, don't do that. It never ends well.
So you're saying there shouldn't be any shit talking amongst NL West rivals?
No, there should be, for sure. No, there should be. But I think putting it on the board at the game, maybe not. Like that's not it. Maybe like some of the Twitter stuff, like some of the teams, I forget who it is. I think it's a basketball team or something, but they do funny shit every single time they win I think that's funny when you do that. I know speaking of the Mickey Mouse, like the bobblehead thing, I think that's funny, but I really do. I think it's Disneyland Day that day. Everywhere is it's Disneyland Day.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yes. Like it has nothing to do with that.
See, I think we need a little bit more of that. I really do. Like, I think it'd be fun if there was like constant, like if the marketing departments really went at like the division rivals. We got to have something between the Dodgers and Giants.
You got to do it. I mean, I think it's great. I think it's funny every single time. I think the NBA teams are pretty good at it when they, and I think some baseball teams do it. I know the Chargers have a good one. Every time they'll come out with the schedule and they got a funny one. Those are always good. I love that stuff.
Yeah, their social media team for the schedule releases.
Yeah,
they're top of the class. No, quite like I know it happened against your squad and Madison Bumgarner, but I liked it like when Max Muncy said, "Yeah, go pull it out of the ocean, go, you know, all that." Like that's good for us. I got to tell you, man, that sort of stuff. We need more of that.
I think they do a bobblehead too with him, it's like the pose of him doing it. So. Yeah. And I think it was when they did it while they were playing us as well. So it's all good fun, you know?
All right. So when do you report?
The next Tuesday. Next Tuesday. Okay. It's first day of camp, ready to go. I'm all excited. Right. We got a ton of guys here already. I think pretty much every single pitcher is here already, maybe besides a couple. And all the catchers are here. And then we got a bunch of position players already here too. Jung-Hoo Lee's been in there, and it's been awesome to meet him. And he's a funny guy. He loves kind of messing around, and it is fun to watch him. I mean, that guy's a barrel every single time, watching him hit BP. So it's I'm excited to have this guy. And yeah, it's going to be good.
All right. So why don't we go back to his introductory news conference? It was actually one of the few news conferences where guys did it in person this year, which I fully appreciated. And here's what I really liked about it. He actually did a little speaking in English, which I thought was unbelievable. Here he is.
I always have loved the Bay Area from coming here as a young ball player. I am here to win and will always give my best for teammates and fans. Let's go, Giants!
Handsome?
Handsome?
Great, right? That's
fantastic.
That's an A+. Like, were you watching it when it happened?
I was not watching it when it happened. I think I was out on the golf course or something, but I watched it afterwards. And yeah, always on the golf course. But yeah, I watched it afterwards. And he's like that every day. Every day that I've been around him so far, it's funny too. I've never had a teammate who needed a translator. So when I'm talking, like, I'll be talking to him, but also like talking to the translator too. And like sometimes I'll say something, and he just smiles and he'll look at me, and I'm like, I'm supposed to ask the translator.
That's good.
But he's good. He knows, and he it seems like he knows a decent amount of English, and he's pretty funny. So he's one of the guys I'm so excited to have.
Yeah. Well, listen, you guys made some other moves. You traded for Robbie Ray.
Yep.
You signed Jordan Hicks, who's really interesting because we all thought, okay, he's going to be getting 44 mil to help out Dotel there, and you have a nice 8-9 who throws about a combined 286 miles an hour. And now we hear that Hicks is going to be a starting pitcher. Did that surprise you?
Not really. I knew about it a little bit before. I was part of the Zoom meeting when we talked to him, and he was very excited. Listening to him talk, and I mean, he was a starter his whole minor league career, and then I think just because he threw 104, they said, "Hey, you're going to be a closer, right?" And so he's been a bullpen guy, and he's done great at it. And you know, I think he's my catch partner right now. So, and it's not fun when he gets close to you and he starts ramping up a little bit, but watching his bullpen, seeing him work, I know he's really, you know, locked in on getting the pitch count up. And you know, I don't think this is just the thing to say, hey, I just want to be a starter. Like, he really, really wants to be one. And you know, the talent to do it is obviously there. You guys, I mean, you've seen him throw, right? So I think just getting used to, you know, like I said, he's already done it, so it's not like it's brand new to him, but getting back used to throwing more innings, facing the lineup more than once, stuff like that. It'll be exciting to watch him in spring. And I know, you know, he's going to be ramping up just like every other starter is.
Okay, there's a bunch of things to break down there. How the hell do you become his catch partner?
So Cobb was my catch partner before, but he's not alive right now, baseball wise. So he's got to play catch with the trainer like an hour later and stuff like that. But so Hicks was just, we were both sitting there one day, and I'm like, "Hey, you want to play catch?" Been catch partners ever since. So, and it's easy too because you got bullpens on the same day. We were throwing at the same time. I'm sure once spring starts and, you know, we got different days and stuff, it might change, but it's fun to pick his brain about stuff. Like, I mean, I ask him every day, how the fuck do you throw that hard? And,
and what the hell's his answer?
He's like, I don't know. You know, and that's like, yeah, okay. That's cool. Thanks for the help.
Appreciate you. Appreciate it. And he asks you, well, how do you finish second in the Cy Young Award? I don't know. Consistency. Something like that.
A lot of change-ups is what I tell.
Good change-up.
A lot of change-ups.
Yeah. I love it when his change-up's like 98.
Yeah.
Perfect. Way to really fool him.
Thanks. That's cool. That's fun to watch. All these splinkers too. Everyone's throwing these. What, I don't even know what it is. The splinker, like Duran, Perez with the Marlins throwing 95 mile per hour. Like how, or Cabrera. I don't know. They all throw a million miles per hour, and they all throw 95 mile per hour changeups. I'm like, how does that happen? Just
they, you know, the baseball gods, as Bull Durham said, touches your shoulder with the lightning bolt.
Yep.
That's what happens. So then you also mentioned that you were part of the recruiting process. Were you also on there with Shohei?
I was not. No, I was not.
Oh.
That was more of a, I think he wanted the secret type thing. And so I was not a part of that at all.
Did you, did you call anybody that was involved with it afterward and say, hey, did he like it? Did he like it here?
I probably texted all of the guys that were part of it a million times before. I think probably every day. I was probably annoying them, to be honest, because they'd be like, oh, I don't know. They couldn't, because they, I don't think we were allowed, they were allowed to say anything. And so I got nothing. I even played golf with one of our owners and asked him, and he was like, I don't know. So it was pretty secretive the whole time.
When he decided to go to the Dodgers instead of the Giants or elsewhere, how bummed were you?
Well, I knew, I think I knew the day before, a day or two before that we were officially out of it. And, you know, I was, you know, that sucked. Obviously, you want a guy like that on. I think anybody, you ask any baseball player on any of the other teams, they'll say, yeah, we'd like to have that guy on our team. And at that point, it was like, all right, as you know, I'll be fine with this as long as he doesn't go there. And he ended up going there. But, you know, it's, you know, biggest superstar in the sport playing in L.A. It's kind of like a, I guess you could probably say a match made in heaven.
Or you could say it's a kick in the balls.
Yeah, that too. But I'll keep it there today.
Were you, so you found out the Giants were out, but we didn't know. And there was that huge online presence of a private plane flying to Toronto. I think it was on a Friday. Ended up, you know, being one of the guys from, who was it? Herskovich or Herkovich?
Yeah, he's from Shark Tank.
Shark Tank. Yeah. So it ended up being him. Like, were you following that whole thing as it was going on?
I was. So that was before I think we were out of it. I think we were still in it then. And I'm pretty sure all of our guys thought he was signed with the Blue Jays and thought he was on the planet like everyone else did. They all thought he was on a plane going to Toronto and signing with the Blue Jays. And, you know, after that, I just thought he was going to the Blue Jays. And then find out it was, I was texting other players saying, and they all had thought the same thing, and ended up being the Shark Tank guy, which I think is actually hilarious.
Oh,
it's so good.
That is awesome.
That's funny. I do, you know, I texted Gausman. I was like, hey, you guys getting him? He's like, I have no clue. It's Kevin, though. He was like, I got no clue, but I hope so.
So on the text chain, out of curiosity, when you all found out he was going to go to your division rival, did somebody type back, fuck?
I think that was most people's reaction for sure. A lot of the pitchers' reactions were like that. But, you know, I think from the get-go, we all thought he would probably go there anyway. So it wasn't too much of like a surprise. It was more just like a, you know, I think we unfortunately all felt like we were, you know, maybe had a decent chance at it. And I don't know if we did. It could have been a zero from the start, could have used us, but I think all of us wanted that.
Is there a part of you that at least loves it that you get to compete against him because 100%. He is?
Yeah. And it's like, to me, it's cool too. It's, I mean, facing the Dodgers already was tough, but now getting to face these guys with that, like, obviously you don't want to face that, but at the same time, the competitor in me wants to, you know, you want to be the best, you want to beat the best, right? Like, so you know, I texted a lot of our young guys because we had a lot of young pitchers this year, and I'm like, take it as a challenge. Kind of go into it as a like, all right, that's fine, but you know, we're gonna come out and we're gonna try to shove it down their throats every single time.
There was a discussion and a narrative this offseason because the Dodgers have spent like $1.2 billion that they're bad for baseball. Do you agree with that?
No. I think, I mean, any team can do it, right? So I don't think anybody was feeling that way. It was more just confused on how he was all the deferred money. That was kind of the confusing part of it. But other than that, like, I mean, I feel like every team should be paying their guys and, you know, trying to win every single year.
All right. So in recent years, you guys have tried for Ohtani. Didn't work out. We heard you guys were in possibly on Yamamoto. He obviously went elsewhere as well. The Correa thing comes with an asterisk because of the ankle issue. Even many years ago, Bryce Harper was going to get a short-term deal. That's what they were offering. My point is that you have added some good players, but not the dude, right? And so Buster Posey, who has been part of the recruitment process, you know, since he's one of the biggest players to ever play there, certainly in the last 30 years, he did say this to Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic. He said, something I think is noteworthy, something that unfortunately keeps popping up from players and even players' wives, is there is a bit of uneasiness with the city itself as far as the state of the city, with crime, with drugs. Whether that's all completely fair or not, perception is reality. It's a frustrating cycle, I think, and it's not just with baseball. Baseball's secondary to life and important things in life, but as far as free agent pursuit goes, I have seen that it does affect things. Were you surprised when you heard that out of Buster's mouth?
Not really, because I hear it too. Unfortunately, I've heard that from other players. I've heard that about guys, and you know, at the end of the day, you play to become a free agent, right? And you get to play for 6 years. And being a, from what I've heard, I haven't been a free agent yet, but being a free agent is pretty cool. You get to choose where you play, right? So to Buster's point, right, at the end of that, he's saying, you know, these guys are in a position where they get to choose where they want to play. And if it's not San Francisco, then, you know, so be it. You never get mad at a guy for picking a city where that he wants to go to, or say it's an East Coast guy. You know, I hear a lot of East Coast guys want to be on the East Coast, and West Coast prefer the West Coast. Like, and it just kind of happens, and it sucks for, you know, that part of the, they think the city is bad, stuff like that. Where they stay and that drive in is probably the worst part of the city. So if you don't leave your hotel room or go explore, you don't go to the Presidio, you don't go to the Marina, you don't go to Burlingame, you don't see the East Bay, you don't get to see all these great parts of it. The only thing you see is that bus ride in, where probably not the greatest part of the city, and that's your view on it, right? Like, there's other cities that I have personally, I won't say them, but there's cities I've gone to where I'm like, man, I probably wouldn't want to play here, because something like that is, it's like that, right? You go through a bad part of the city and you're like, man, I don't want to be there. And there's probably beautiful parts in every city. So, you know, I think it's unfortunate that that's the one thing they see, because San Francisco is absolutely gorgeous and there is unbelievable places to live there. I mean, think about all the big name CEOs of every company. They all live there, right? You know, billionaires choose to live there. So that's the one unfortunate thing. So I think people kind of took Buster's word, like took it out of context when he was saying that. He was just kind of saying it. And to be honest, it is the truth with how some players view it. And some people around baseball view that. But, you know, at the end of the day, like he said, and like I feel like, if you're a free agent and you get to choose where you want to play, I'm not going to be mad at a guy for not wanting to choose that place, right? Like, mm-hmm. As a baseball player, obviously I want some of these guys on my team, but there's no fault in choosing where you and your family wants to live, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody would begrudge anybody, right? I mean, we all want the freedom of choice to make the best decision for ourselves and our families. And we've talked about it, like Plouffe and I on our Baseball Today podcast have talked about it several times, and probably a little unfairly because the two of us haven't been up in San Francisco enough. I used to love to go up there when I would cover games. Loved it. One of my favorite cities. And now it's just you read things. And once again, Buster did say in this, whether the perception meets the reality, it's the perception that's there. And maybe it is up to guys like Buster Posey and Logan Webb when you're talking to a guy who might be a free agent and somebody will say, hey, what's the city really all about? I suppose it's your job to be part of the recruiting process and maybe sway their thinking a little bit that, hey, this isn't exactly what you're hearing about.
Yeah. And that's what, and I try to do that every time I talk to guys, or we sign guys and I'll be like, guys are asking where to live, or and it's like, well, do you want to live in the city or do you want to live in, the suburbs, right? There's both very nice areas where you can live in either one, right? And that's how most cities are. So, that's how I feel about it. I'm probably a little biased. I'm from Sacramento or the Sacramento area. And I grew up going to San Francisco with, my parents and grandparents, and I love the city. And I still love the city. I think it's a great place. And like I said, I think what Buster said was taken out of context a little bit. So it was kind of unfairly criticized, especially by, I think the Giants fans honestly were the hardest on him for saying it, but he's just pretty much saying what he hears, right?
Right.
What a lot of us have heard, unfortunately, but it is the truth.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. It was a big topic for us because it came out of Buster Posey's mouth. And yeah, I think that it did get twisted a little bit. I think Giants fans, if I'm reading it right, were hurt that it came from one of the most identifiable players in the franchise's history.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, hold on, you're supposed to be helping us. But what he did was speak the truth. And he said,
and I think in part of that, he was trying to help it, right? Also, if you kind of read between the lines of what he said also, right, he is saying the perception might be, that it's, I mean, Buster lives in, I probably shouldn't tell anybody that he lives around there, but he moved back to San Francisco and the Bay Area because he loved it so much. So, I don't think he wasn't saying anything bad about it, right?
Got it. I am curious, since you grew up in Northern California, play for the Giants, and also have a football team that you root for in Las Vegas that moved there from Oakland.
Yeah.
Have you been following the shit show that is the Oakland A's?
I have a little bit, yeah. It's tough. I just honestly, I feel bad for Oakland, the city of Oakland, the fans that are, diehard fans from that area that love the Bay Area, the Oakland sports, right? They lost the Warriors a couple years ago. They lost the Raiders. And now I think they're about to lose the A's. I really have no clue what's going on with that. So it was kind of crazy to see the Las Vegas mayor come out and say, stay in Oakland. So I think that's not a great start to that, the move to that city. But man, I just want to see. I got a special place in my heart for the Coliseum, just because I grew up going to games for the Raiders and the A's. But I'm a realist also. They do need a new stadium for sure. That's I think you can ask anybody and they'll all say the same thing. So, I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble for saying all this, but I feel like that area where the Coliseum and the Oracle Arena was, like, I feel like there was big enough space to have a baseball team and a football team on there and build a brand new stadium. I think that's what most people wanted, but unfortunately has not gone that way.
What's stranger when you play that series every year out at the Coliseum? Is it that you have to walk up the same tunnel as the other team behind home plate, which is really strange? Or the fact that sometimes you might be stepping literally in shit in your clubhouse.
Probably the tunnel thing. Well, the tunnel thing that you, it is the same team, but it's also the fans are walking with you also that stay behind home plate. So you'll be walking and the fan will just like, I had one fan smack me in the butt last year. Like, and I'm like, all right, that's, I've never had that before, but that's cool. You know, I know it was the Rendon incident last year where, I mean, they're all, it's right there. They're right there as you're walking off. So, so it is, like I said, it's an interesting place. But like I said, I always love going there. I like pulling up for that series and seeing fans tailgate in the parking lot. You don't see that very often. There's only a couple places nowadays where you see tailgating. I think Milwaukee is one of the other places I love. I just like that. I like that vibe to it. But you know me, big football guy. I like the tailgate part of it. And when I see that, it's always good.
What's your favorite road place to play in because of the fans?
Because of the fans? So are you talking like the atmosphere?
Yeah. Where they're really on you and you're like, oh, this is great. I dig this.
For us, it's probably the Dodgers. And I like playing at Dodger Stadium, to be honest. It's loud. It's always great weather. But they hound you the whole time. And it's the things with them, though, is they kind of say more fucked up shit than other places. The Phillies, going to Philly, going to New York, they say funny shit. Boston's the same way. But, like, the Dodgers will get personal, a little bit personal. And I kind of like it, though. I'm like, you know, I think that's great. And, you know, it builds up the kind of gives me a little bit more adrenaline. You know, I think the guys, it's always funny when, like, I think last year we had two rookies come up and their first game was in Dodger Stadium. And they came into the dugout and they were like, I've never heard anybody say that type of shit to me before. And they were just running out to, I think one was playing right field. And I'm like, welcome to Dodger Stadium. It's great. But I've honestly heard the Giants fans are pretty tough on opposing players as well. So, and I'm sure they're probably just as bad as the Dodgers guys. So I think it's great. It's, you know, great. One of the more historic rivalries. And so that's probably number one for me. And then I had a baseball thrown at me at Mets at Citi Field. I threw one. He kept talking about my mom. So I always kind of smile and joke with them. And it was like this 15-year-old kid. So I threw the ball up to him after I was done playing catch, about to walk to the bullpen. I think I was talking to my two pitching coaches were walking out. And the ball goes right past my head. And I'm like, I turn around and the group of 15-year-olds are all going like this to me. There's a cop sitting right behind them, kind of like smiling and laughing. Didn't care at all. I was like, all right, this is fun. It was like raining sideways, and I was facing Scherzer. I got my ass kicked that day, so that was a good start to my Citi Field experience.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I loved all of it except the baseball whizzing by your head.
I don't think that's okay, but I guess it was. I got a DM from the kid later that night too. He sent me a DM and said that was me through the ball. I wish it hit you. I was like, all right, that's cool, man. Like, whatever.
Wait a second. He said, I wish it had hit. I thought maybe he was going to say, hey, got a DM from the kid. He said, hey, I'm really sorry about throwing the baseball at you. Wish good luck the rest of the season. Nothing close to that.
Nothing close to that. Yeah. Yep. So that was fun. That was a good experience. You know, you always learn new things when you're out there. Then Philly, I like the Philly fans are great. They're one of my favorite. Them and Yankee fans. This last year, I got to. It was the coolest experience in the world. I had a pitch there on opening day, and you know, those guys, they talk shit, but as soon as you talk shit back to them, they love you. They're like, yeah, oh yeah, fuck yeah, like, good luck the rest of this season. I hope you suck today, though. You know what I mean? Like, but that's fun. Those are fun interactions that I like having.
I love that. Who is the guy you like competing against the most in baseball? When he steps into the batter's box, you're like, oh, this is why I worked all those hours to get here.
Probably Mookie. he owns me, like legit owns me. But it's always, it's fun when I do actually get him out. It's always like, I always look in the dugout and I'm like, yes, like finally got him out. But it's, man, he is one of the most special players that I've gotten to play against. Like everything he does on the field, like, you know, watching him, I think his first game at shortstop, I think I could be wrong. I don't know the things, but he played a game at shortstop and I think it was against us. And it was the first time he'd done it in a long time. And I mean, he played like a gold glover out there. Like it was pretty sick to watch, actually. I think it was against us because I think he texted Kral the night before saying, hey, you got any tips for me? I'm playing shortstop tomorrow. And Kral was like, he thought it was hilarious. But, you know, I think it's what he does. Sorry.
No, you're good.
What he does on a baseball field is pretty special. And it's always fun competing against him.
Did you hear what he said at Dodger Fest over the weekend?
I did, yeah.
Did you take it as an insult when he said, for every other team, it's basically their World Series when they're going to play us?
I mean, not really. I don't know how – I mean, I get what he's saying for sure. I don't know if, like, when we play them in May, I'm going to feel like it's the World Series playing against them. I'm going to try to beat them like I, you know, try – we try to do every single time, but I know what he's saying, right? It is that team is filled with superstars and MVPs, and I'm sure teams are going to try a little bit harder when they face them, when they, you know, but that's a, you know, that I think that's for many teams, right? Like, I think you go into a place, say you're going to Yankee Stadium, you want to win there, you want to, you know, there's a little bit of an extra adrenaline boost. So it'll, you know, it's the same thing at Dodger Stadium. I think every team goes in there and it's a great atmosphere. It's loud as shit. And you're going to want to beat these guys. And so I don't know. I didn't take it the wrong way, but I don't think I'm going to treat it as I've never been to the World Series, first of all, so I really wouldn't know. But and I think a lot of guys can probably say the same thing. So, but yeah, I'm sure there will be extra adrenaline for a lot of the teams when they play.
I think we probably caught up with you at this time last year, and then several weeks later, I believe you signed your extension. So yeah. First of all, congratulations, which
Thank
is
you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
When you sign on the dotted line and you have, I mean, listen, it was your dream to just pitch in the major leagues, but now you have changed the trajectory of you and your family's life. I know money's not the end all be all, but for God's sakes, I mean, this is awesome, right? When you put pen to paper, did it feel different?
Yeah, honestly, it was kind of a sigh of relief. You know, we had been talking for a little while, and I think right before then, I was 0-4 with like a 5-something ERA, like terrible to start the year. And I felt like I was trying to be perfect every single time when I was doing that. And then once we signed, it was kind of like a sigh of relief, like, okay, we can just go back to pitching again. And, you know, it helped a ton, but it was awesome. It was a great, a lot of the guys on the team, I had a thing with my family, a little celebration with my family. And then we were actually in Miami right when I signed. So we all had a good team outing. And it was cool, the guys setting that up for me. And, it was special to me too, because I love the Giants. I love San Francisco. I love, I'm proud to say I'm from Northern California. And I think that was the biggest thing. Even though I grew up an Ace fan, I grew up, you know, respecting the shit out of what the Giants had done in 10, 12, 14, and then being a part of the organization for the past 10 years. I loved every bit of it. And I want to win here. That was the biggest thing is just, chasing that feeling that those guys had. And when I was in high school and also getting to play with like half of them. So hearing their thoughts about it and, You know, I feel like it really is like once you play for the Giants, like I know they say like forever Giant or something, but you feel that. Like you love, you love being a Giant. And I felt then I was excited to, you know, at least add 3 more years to, you know, I think it's, I got the 2 arb years that they bought out and then 3 free agent years. So and then hopefully stay as long as I can.
Awesome. I'm going to guess that you picked up the tab in Miami.
I did. I did. I couldn't see the number, to be honest. So I had someone else sign with me.
Was it too blurry?
It was a little blurry. I think there was something wrong with the paper or something.
Probably. Didn't have your contacts in, right?
No. Yeah. Legally blind without my contacts. I think someone took them out before.
Is that true?
It is true. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually funny. You watch so my brother is a big MLB The Show guy.
Uh-huh.
And when you play with me, the announcers say it every single time. Like Webb is actually legally blind. And so I think that's really funny actually, but yes, it is true. I cannot see shit without my contacts in.
Can you please start pitching with glasses?
No, I have contacts. I can see now.
No, like, but I don't want, no. Everybody's got, I want to see, glasses. It would be so, I mean, there's so few guys that do it. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I could do it. I'll ask Gallon if he has an extra pair for me I can wear.
Oh, see,
he rocks.
He does. He rocks it. He's a big time fashionista. Whether he's on the mound or just walking into the clubhouse, he's all over it.
Maybe I'll try it. I almost did it last year. So Tyro has like the cross earring, so the one that Barry used to wear.
Yeah,
I used to have my ears pierced. Hopefully, you cannot find any pictures of that. But I used to have my ears pierced. So last year in Colorado, and I put one in and. They were all like, you got to pitch with that in one of these times. So I might pull that out this year. Maybe. Maybe one game.
Please, if you do, text me. I'll be on the lookout for it. I'm in. I've been on this for 12 to 15 years, I'm guessing. I don't know where it started, where bells and whistles start going off when a guy gets to 100 pitches. Like, we put that up, that graphic, every time you get to 100 pitches. Like, he's at 100 pitches. Stop. Is there a major difference between 100 pitches for you and 150? No, there's not.
Not at all. Not
could you
at
go
all.
Could you go 135 and feel okay?
100%. Yeah. I think at a certain point, you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. I think you'll be fine. Do I think there's a point where you could maybe overdo it? So say jumping from 75 pitches to 115 pitches your next outing. I don't know, maybe, but I think consistently if you're around 100 to 110, 115, like that's to me what a starter is. That's what I was told what a starter was when I first came up. And, you know, I'm thankful for those guys to kind of teaching me that way of being a pitcher.
How many can you throw on opening day?
I'm not sure. I'll probably say right around 100, 95 to 100. I think last year I threw 90 something or like low 90s.
Yeah. Okay.
And I fought my way to try to get out for the 7th inning for that. And then I think I walked the first guy and they took me out of the game.
Hey, man, we'll take 6 plus on opening day.
Yeah.
Solid. All right. Last thing before we get out of here. We know you're a huge golfer. I think this is last year at Oracle where they had it set up. The golf course. All right, we didn't follow the ball. The swing is wonderful. Now, where's the ball landing?
Okay, so the ball was landing. So I get up there, and it's crazy to me now that, you know, it looks like you're further away. We were hitting a 60-degree. And I'm like, you're telling me I got to hit it all the way. But I guess if you go on a golf course, it looks the feet and yards, everything kind of fucked me up. And so I get a 60-degree. And then I get up there and you see that railing right in front of us. Like it's like a 6-inch, 7-inch railing. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like the first thing I'm going to do is hit that. Like that's what I'm looking at. Like there's no way. off a turf mat, no warm up. I'm just like, oh God, this is not going to be good. I think my first one was actually pretty good. Like, man, I might be all right today. And then they had us do one where it was like, all right, this is, it's like go 10 in a row. And I think this was like my fifth one. And I'm like, I hit it, almost hit somebody. I'm like, I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore.
The swing is, it's all right though.
Yeah, you know, it's all right. I leak forward a little bit too much. So
okay.
I got a big miss, you know, a lot of the some chunks, some slices, but overall it's getting better. I wish I could now, you know, full. That was also the first time I swung a golf club in 2 months, I think.
Okay. So, well, do you put the clubs away when spring training starts, or is it when you're ramping up you could still play?
That's the best time to play. Spring training. It's beautiful outside. All the guys are it's funny, all the guys that come from the East Coast, they all get super excited. They're like, all right, we got to play this day and this thing, because they haven't been, usually, I don't know how the weather's been, but usually they haven't been able to play because it's too cold or something. They're excited to get out and play, but this week is miserable here, here in Arizona. Well, so
who's the guy that takes the most money
in golf?
Yeah.
It's either Yaz or Cobb. Both those guys are pretty good. And I, unfortunately, I wasn't able to play. I had this big bet with Cobb. I won't tell you dollar amount, but I had a big bet with Cobb that I could beat him once, just once this offseason. You know, I was going to get in there. Unfortunately, he got hurt, so he hasn't played a lot. And I think he's a little jealous of me right now, being able to go out there and play some golf. But hopefully he's out there soon. Then I'll take his money then.
Well, what, hold on, because we haven't done it. You can give me a dollar figure. Is it five? Is it five figures?
Yes, it is five figures.
Is it closer to six figures?
No. No, it's five figures though. Well, hey. At first he said, okay. If I beat him, so we didn't do this, but he was like, if I beat him, I get one of his paychecks for a pay period. And then if he beats me, I think if I didn't beat him just once, it was like he got two paychecks. And I'm like, fuck no, like, I'm not doing that.
Wait a second. Hold on. I'm not sure that math works out anymore.
No, it does not work out. So
yeah,
we got away from that one. We made it a little smaller.
Yeah, let's talk to your accountant before we start, or your financial advisor at the very least, before we start throwing that shit around.
Exactly. So.
All right, man. I appreciate the time. Best of luck as you start the season. We'll catch up at some point. I'm sure the Cavs head out to Sacramento at some point this year. I don't think that's happened yet. And
not sure.
Yeah, I don't even remember at this point.
I'll shoot you a text right before.
Oh, I was going to say this. If the Raiders and the next year the Browns play at Las Vegas.
I do. I did see that.
So if it's a Monday or a Thursday, it wouldn't be a Thursday, but if they get a Monday nighter out there, which is maybe a possibility, if that happens, might have to meet you out there.
Perfect. I love that. I would love that.
That would be a fun one. Yeah. How would I do if I wore brown and orange into the sea of the silver?
Unfortunately, right now you'd probably fit it, because there are, when you go to games, there's a lot of, I'd look at it this way. You play on a Sunday, and if you're a fan of a team and you decide, hey, every year I'm going to go to one road game every year, and they're playing the Raiders that year in Vegas, where are you going to pick?
I know.
You got to go to Vegas. So I think they're dealing with that a little bit, but I think once, you know, Antonio Pierce is going to get the guys right, they're going to start winning some football games, and the silver and black will be in full effect once again.
Forever hopeful, the silver and black.
Forever hopeful.
Just be mediocre, baby. Just be mediocre. Stay healthy. Have a great, great season. Follow up that amazing 2023 with a great 2024. And to all the guys there in the Giants clubhouse, we say hello, all right?
I will. Thanks for
having
me.
Appreciate you as always. For our awesome producer, Robbie Scirocco, and for the 2023 NL Cy Young Award winner runner-up, which is still pretty good, in my loving way. I am Chris Rose. We'll see you next time here on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.